calling Dorothy Kane with Pieces of South. I'm so sorry that I missed your call, but if you'd leave your name and number, I would love to call you back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Greetings, this is the Automatically Deleted Husband, and obviously the focus today will be Isaac. As I have done before, I'm going to do again, and for anyone who's paying attention, the reason should be more than obvious. It was fascinating to me that his response email, my subject line was really short, and was he trying to make a statement? My suggestion to Isaac is he consider what day was it? August 10th, not too long ago. I sent, it was a response because I sent a postcard to Chris Bitterman. And then I did what was termed a long video to him in the presence of all. And the presence of all is quoting the scripture. But in that passage, I talked about something that I wanted to state as a very positive thing about Chris Bitterman, specifically the time we went to visit a gentleman who was in prison. Isaac, you're setting yourself up for the exact same thing. What you have done, I think could easily land you in prison. Now, make it very clear. As I've matured as a follower of Christ, I'm your ally, I'm not your enemy. I would not be the one who would turn you in. If called to testify against you, I will not. Because, as I will contend, the Lord does not command the prison system. That is something from man. He commands only two things: restitution and death. Prison is not a command of the Lord. And obviously, in this case, in your case, restitution is not the option. But see, the issue is, obviously, the email, this one and the previous one, was sent to multiple parties. So you have multiple people who've received this, including there are copies of this, of your email. You know, you may say you want to delete it, but I'm sorry, that doesn't happen. You are using a third-party provider, that they won't delete it. And you also have, for example, there is a copy of your email in the Utah Data Center in San Antonio, Texas, and at the NSA headquarters. There's probably a copy of it at the Donut in England. There is probably copies of it in other data centers. So no, I'm sorry. You can't get rid of it. You did it. And so the evidence is there against you. You need an ally. And I'm trying to be your ally. Not in dealing with the state. I won't contend there. Because as a follower of Christ, I don't turn to the state. MetaView doesn't understand this, obviously, and neither does Jim Cross and obviously my wife. But I'm a follower of Christ, so I'm trying to strive to do what he commands. So if you may recall, for anyone who's paying attention, the last time we went through this, I did point to the fact that previously I did a few videos that relate to you and your family. One was the N-words video that I thought had some merit. And then, of course, the last time you sent this, I did the video Black Families Matter, which, like I say, it's online, and it's interesting. I found it fascinating because I didn't get that much traffic on it, which was kind of a disappointment. But when I did the All Hail the Whistleblower video, which, you know, I've blown past 302 views in 2 weeks, which I've never done before. but it's added another 20 views, 20 plus views to the Black Families Matter video, which was addressed specifically. Well, it was motivated specifically by your email. It's interesting also that you sent an apology email. But, you know, the thing you have to notice is that the photos are recent. And I have no reason to pursue this. But we can probably find the GPS information from the photos to find out exactly where you were and, of course, the time from both photos. So, I mean, if somebody wants to hang you, they can. But none of that matters. What matters is I'm going to come to you as someone who's trying to be obedient to Christ. And two things came to mind. One, and I reviewed this today, is the passage in 1 Corinthians 5. It starts with, it's actually reported there was sexual immorality among you, and the kind that's not even tolerated even among the pagans, for a man has his father's wife. Are you are you arrogant? Aren't you not rather to mourn? Let him who has done this be removed from among you. Goes on and so forth. And clearly this is not, I think what happens here is we start with a hard case and then we talk in general, because when we get down to, for although absent in body, I'm a present in spirit, and as if present, I have already pronounced judgment on the one who did such a thing. So that sets the stage. Then we have, when you're assembled in the name of the Lord, and I have to point out, that's synago, where we get synagoge, which is where we get the idea, English synagogue. So, you know, when you're assembled, when you synago together, so this gets onto one of my issues that I talk about. You know, there is no Jewish significance to a synagogue, nor is there a Christian significance to the ecclesia, but that's another issue. When you're assembled in the name of the Lord Jesus, and my spirit is present with the power of our Lord Jesus, you are to deliver this man to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. That is the subject of hand. You are to deliver this man to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Now, the question is, what does that mean? Is that destruction in the sense of do vile things to this person? There's an analogy to this. There's, I would suggest, a direct reference to this. You may be familiar with the book of Job. There's the interaction between the Lord and Satan, and he says, but stretch out your hand and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face. These are Satan's words to the Lord. And then the Lord responds, and the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your hand, only spare his life. The idea of he is in your hand and deliver this man is the exact same word in the Greek. The Greek version, obviously, the Old Testament. It's the exact same word, paradidomai, which is to hand over, para is kind of next, and then didomai, to hand over. So you're handing over next to, into the hands of another. So that's fascinating. The Lord handed Job over to Satan. And, but we see in 1 Corinthians 5, you are to deliver this man to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. It's the same context. Because the objective in the destruction of the flesh, being delivered to Satan, Satan is not the ultimate authority, but he's used to cause significant grief. And the destruction of the flesh, again, is not to destroy the body in the sense of to cause your death or to cause you physical harm. But, you know, there's the body and spirit kind of idea. is to destroy the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, the things that cause you to be away from the Lord. So with that in mind, it would be, you know, quite literally my hope and prayer that considering what I've seen, that you're turned over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. It's an act of love. Because my relationship with you is not something I'm going to walk away from. My relationship with you is until one of us is dead. You are the husband of my daughter. You are the dad to two of my grandkids. I'm not going to abandon you. You're stuck with me. But you obviously, there's some clues we have that there are issues. And because of the lack of communications, I only have a hint of what those issues might be. The hints obviously are the photos you sent. And the photo I found of your wife, my Julia, wearing a Chick-fil-A badge. And so my assumption is, there are issues. So I don't know the details. I've reached out, and thus far it's quiet. But, you know, I've mentioned many times, including quite recently, the idea of speaking parousia. I did that in the video to Chris Bitterman, to speak openly, plainly, boldly, clearly, unambiguously, whatever other words you want to use. I'm not going to talk around things. I'm going to be direct and to the point. What you apparently are doing is more than offensive. The excuses of that somebody else... No, I'm sorry, I don't buy it. I don't buy it whatsoever. Because, let's say the evidence suggests otherwise. I think you're rationalizing. And my suggestion is, oh, what is that word again? Repent. Now, see, of course, there's the issue. I will contend the Bible is true. I will contend Jesus Christ is the creator who stepped into his creation. Specifically, his purpose is to redeem his elect in order to establish a relationship with his elect. I have no idea who his elect are. I can't tell. I can't tell even somebody who is being rather foul. I think that's the reason we have the model of the man who is the thief on the cross, because he was foul to the last moment. He insulted Christ and repented. It's not the model to say you can repent at the last moment. It's the model to say to me, a mere man, I can't judge who the Lord will get and who he won't. My assumption is your lifestyle right now indicates you probably are living a lifestyle not consistent with somebody who is part of the elect. And I'm going to give you the challenge to change that. I have not had the joy of embracing Charlotte or James yet. It is my desire to do so. It is my desire to do so again with my Julia. As I've pointed out more than once, the hug that I got from Julia the day we met in High Point some years ago was fantastic. You showed courage in your conversation with me when we sat at the Asahi restaurant. You were open and honest with me. I ask that you do so again now. It is my hope and prayer that you have either gone astray and will return, as we see with the example of, because it's another thing I studied today, which is fascinating to study, about how should I do this, or is this getting carried away? Okay, I won't go there right now. When Peter says, "No, I'm going to follow you." And he says, you know, before the rooster crows, you will deny me. But, okay. This is unfortunate that I was not prepared. Is it the Mark passage? No. Is it the Matthew passage? No. Oh, this is terribly terrible. Okay. I won't bother. The issue to me is you need to be a man, not a wimp. The model you have set before you by Jim Cross, Rudder Keynes, Chris Bitterman, the leadership at MetaView, and probably so many people around you, a bunch of wimps. Isaac, I'm asking you not to be a wimp, to act like a man. I keep pointing to the 1 Corinthians 16. Be strong and courageous, or act like a man, and let all that you do be done in love. Don't be a wimp. Act like a man. You showed you could do that at the restaurant. Do it now. Lead your family as someone who is repentant, who has done something that is vile. Pursue reconciliation. Pursue obedience to Christ. I've said very clearly in the previous email, my desire for you is to have a wonderful reconciled relationship between you and Julia, or free Julia. And the only way to free Julia, as I pointed out, is Romans 7. How that would happen, I don't know. But my preference, my desire, because there's hope in me about you, is that you will step up to the plate as a man, as a follower of Christ, not just a. I am so fascinated about the term that you see often in Scripture, a worthless individual or a worthless man. Don't be that. Don't be worthless. Show your value because you say, because you know, because you pursue Jesus Christ as your Lord. And I want to make something very clear to you. What you've done is disgusting. The examples you see from Jim Cross, Rudder Keynes, Chris Bitterman, from the leadership of MetaView and so forth, is to abandon people. That's what they do. You don't fit our standards. We're going to abandon you. I won't. What you've done is not something I can recommend. What you're doing in other ways, I don't know. But I'm not really enthused to think that they're good things. I'm calling you to account. I'm asking that you step up to the plate as a man. Love your family, no matter what stains that already exist. Love your family and love them well. Be the model to James of a God-fearing man. Show him, by living in front of him, what it is to be a follower of Christ. Love him well. Set the model well. And if there's any desire at any time for you or anyone else to actually want to engage me, I constantly talk. Well, that door is open. I will not close that door until my last breath. I've constantly pointed out, we're called to agonize the good agony, fight the good fight. And the example that is used is to run the race. Runners run to a goal, and they run in parallel. They run together towards the same goal. And what does it happen when you have runners next to you that are running? It's not, I'm going to try to, like boxing, I'm going to try to hurt you, to defeat you. No, I want to encourage you, and I want you to encourage me as we run to the goal. That's why the analogy is there. We're running to the same goal. And our running is an encouragement one to another. That's what brothers do. They encourage one another. Encourage, parakaleo, to draw to yourself, to draw near. Two men running together to the common goal, sun parakaleo, to together draw near. I want to do that with you. The goal is the truth. The goal is Christ. I want to run that race with you. Are you willing? Right now, you're not showing much hope. So to you, to others, including Jim Cross, Render Keynes, and Chris Bitterman, including my rest of my kids, including my wife, I want to run to the goal towards obedience to Christ, to bask in his mercy, to enjoy a fellowship with him. There is no greater goal in this life. Fame, fortune, riches, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life mean nothing compared to a relationship of reaching that goal, to end up life saying, I fought a good fight, I agonized the good agony, I finished the course, and I kept the faith. The Bible is either true, or it's a complete, blatant myth. It's a lie. I will contend, as I've had many times, it's true. It is God-breathed. These are not man's words. These are the Lord's words. And this will either scare the living daylights out of you, or you'll see the mercy and grace in it, because it's there in abundance. Do you want to celebrate with me God's mercy and grace? I hope so, because I want to celebrate that with you. Isaac, you're my son-in-law. I'm not going to walk away from you. You're a disgusting, filthy human being. But so am I. But I know the Lord's grace. Do you? I want to share the Lord's grace. I don't think the people around you know how to do that. But I'm going to give you the example of someone who does. Isaac, one absolutely filthy, disgusting man to another. Let's celebrate together that the Lord will go to the deepest pile of scum and pull out something magnificent out of his grace. It's not because we're magnificent, it's because he shines his grace upon us. I don't know his plans for you, but I'm going to assume it is that he will show you his grace. And it is my hope that you won't be a wimp. Chris Bitterman is acting like a wimp. Jim Cross is acting like a wimp. So many others around you are acting like wimps. Be a man. Again, the 1 Corinthians 16, be strong, act like men, let all that you do be done in love. Do you know how to love? Love the way the Lord defines. Do you know how to love? I'm striving to set an example of that before you. Isaac, look at Charlotte. Look at James. Love them. And love them well. And know this granddaddy would like to do the same. I've sent a card recently asking to embrace my grandkids. Love your wife, my daughter, because I'm rather biased. I love her. but irrespective, whether or not things go well with you and your family, or you have a lot of tragedy set before you, if you are going to be find some rather significant difficulties because you've been handed over to Satan. When that's done, as long as I have breath, I'm here for you. I will not turn away. Make that clear. I will not turn away. Isaac, my son-in-law, I want to make it very clear. I love you.